Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear. I'm Susan Laris and Danz, and today is Saturday, April 13th, 2024. And if you are listening to me live or in the near future, I do want, at the outset of this program, to call attention to my upcoming appearance. Or perhaps you're listening in the future, after having seen one of my talks coming up. And welcome those of you who are new to this show. Today I aim to really, well, my show is a very spontaneous exercise. Yes, it has a vast archive of a number of interviews with many different people in the spiritual community. In recent years, it has been quieter, really because of life itself and for some other reasons, but it's only quieter in the sense that I simply spontaneously share my reflections on a number of topics. What the future holds in the conversation domain, especially after the upcoming event that I'm going to talk about here in a minute, I don't know. I really do feel that a door is opening to some very expansive possibilities. So I do want to tell you about this upcoming event. I will be at the New Living Expo next weekend, starting on Friday night, April 19th. I will be presenting the free lecture. At all of these events, you need to purchase an expo admission pass or one of their packages for getting admission for the weekend, however you go about it. But the Friday night event is free with your admission, and it could be rather full because Friday night can be popular at these expos in my experience in general. So you might want to show up a little bit early if you're coming to the free lecture Friday night called Our Leap Beyond AI, Spiritual Breakthroughs. That will be 7 to 7:45 p.m. And all of the speaking events are at the San Rafael Embassy Suites. On Saturday, I will be co-presenting a workshop with researcher Jean Manning, who is a long-term expert in studying new energy solutions in innovative ways without getting stuck in so many different ways one can get stuck in that domain. The name of that workshop is Hidden Energy, AI versus Intuition, Nikola Tesla's Intuitive Leaps. And that will be 5 to 6:30 p.m. Saturday, a week from today, at the Embassy Suites Hotel. And you can buy tickets right now for that. And on the show page, I have a link to frontierbeyondfear.com where you're going to find all of these events listed and you can look at their descriptions. On Sunday, I will be moderating the free panel, free with your expo admission, Breakthrough Science, Freeing the Truth to Save the Earth. That will be Sunday, April 21st, 5 to 7 p.m., once again at the Embassy Suites. And that will be a really good opportunity since I'm not only moderating the panel, but I'm a panelist, having both experience in AI with a master's degree in computer science and also my spiritual background, which is exemplified by this show, The Frontier Beyond Fear, and a number of other things I've done in the spiritual community. That will be a very dynamic event, and I have been told the audience will certainly have a microphone to ask questions. Also, I'll be asking questions of the panelists. If I'd want to give priority to the audience, but I'll ask questions if we need some more questions or if it's a follow-up question, or we'll just see how it goes. It's going to be a lot like at least the conversation aspects, drawing on my experience having interviewed so many people in the past. And also having that combination of spirituality and science in my background, and that'll be the case for multiple panelists at this event. So again, for details, the easiest way, go to frontierbeyondfear.com, and you'll see links if you scroll down a little bit for each of these events. And you can also look at the expo overall and everything that's going to be out there. I am going to also be at booth number 25, which is going to have a giant banner that says Breakthrough Science. In the guide, it's under Breakthrough Power. But we decided that the banner should say Breakthrough Science. And I will be there quite a bit throughout the weekend, Friday through Sunday. And that's also a good opportunity to just come by and talk. So I hope if you're in the area, I really look forward to seeing you at the New Living Expo. I haven't done this in a while. I used to go to expos quite a bit. Have never been to this one, although I've thought about it in the past. Just never came to be until now, and I'm really looking forward to being there and seeing you there as well. So today's topic is related to the expo events, but it also goes beyond them. And something I want to say about where I'm headed in this AI domain, I really am seeing the call now. The more that I get into this preparing for the expo, I'm really feeling the call to get into this quite deeply and expansively. And what's happening now, you know, I've talked about the topic any number of times. And yes, I do have experience in AI in the past. And actually, the more that I study the state of the field and how people are defining their terms, I really feel like everything I've done related to language modeling, both as an undergraduate and a graduate student, relates. Because it's really kind of interesting, when I was a graduate student, how you defined that field of AI. There were a number of institutions that really weren't considered so-called AI schools, even though where I went, it was a big computer science school for sure. Still probably to this day, close, or if not at that time, considered about number four in the U.S., probably the top state school in computer science, and some very amazing things were being developed there when I was there, and I'm really honored to have been at that institution, the University of Illinois, but it has to do with language modeling, the work that I was involved in, and I've had the opportunity now, and this will more and more occur well past this expo, well past this time of catching up more and more on what's being said in the field now. Some of these terms, I heard an expert in the field just in a conference here. He was after a conference he was talking about, and he was saying large language models are more than large language models. And, you know, it's funny because I've been thinking that too. I mean, there's a lot more to them than the actual modeling. Well, it was the modeling that I was involved with. And what's so interesting is I had this opportunity right at the very beginning in 1985 at one company to prototype. And I was just told, you know, your job this summer is to create a conceptual model for a natural language interface prototype. And I started from scratch, which is just so amazing. And I often wonder, you know, where did it go? But I view this as a synchronicity. As far as my spiritual life, and there's another huge synchronicity, I've mentioned it before, that Greg Braden worked in the same group, but I didn't know him. I was an intern, and we later figured out when I asked him that there were no more than 50 people in that group, and it was 1985. He wasn't a spiritual speaker yet. I find that to be just an incredible synchronicity. But it also is evidence of the spiritual world, which is what today's show is about, and every show is about on this network, or on my show, not on the network. The network has a variety of shows, and that's why I like to be here, because it's nice to be in a place where you have such a wide variety of shows and perspectives. So today, the topic of my show on true meaning, finding true meaning in life, was prompted by a couple of things. It was prompted by listening to some, now these were not the scientists, well, at least one I was listening to is a computer scientist, actually maybe two, but these are people who are very prominent, and as can be the case in computer science, they may rise to being a CEO, even with it, and they've had a technical background too, but that isn't always the case. And so part of the topic today is prompted by reflections on that. But the other part was an article I saw in passing, and I'm not even going to give the article because I felt that the way that it was framed was not helpful in our world today, that we have just so much divisiveness going on. And I really felt that how they put it applied to just a really broad range of perspectives and not just one. And it's probably even in a place where I couldn't read it at all, or maybe you could read five articles or whatever. I don't need to read the article. I just want to refer to what it communicated in the title. And it basically, and in the title, and I think there was a little bit in the description, that if you believe that there is a reason for everything, it painted that as very, very dark, giving away all your power to some authoritarian divine being, and clearly did not have any understanding of what can be a very intricate passageway, journey of trust and also of understanding even how synchronicity works, how things in the world fit together, why are we here on our human journeys, how life fits together, how it can be really difficult. Like I've often said, the most difficult question is, why do bad things happen? You know, why are we here in this world where it's so harsh? And we have every reason to question why it's so harsh. It has to do with free choice. It's actually the opposite of any kind of authoritarian divine. And just from the title alone, and also from some other comments coming out of this recent AI event where several leaders in the field were there, and I'm still studying it. It went on for multiple days, and I couldn't see everything, but I've seen excerpts. Just watching some of that and also reflecting upon philosophy and different ways that philosophers have thought about consciousness, this all kind of meshed together. And thrown into the mix was yet another thing I heard on a show having to do with, you know, it must not be a benevolent divine that somehow, and of course you can always cast, when you can always find all kinds of other reasons, create other beings within the dogma as to why bad things happen, other reasons. And I actually have said before and continue to say that I actually think it disempowers the unconditionally loving divine to just attribute everything. And it also makes, it's kind of an easy out in a way, and not so easy really, but it's a scapegoat kind of thing where you can just attribute everything bad to some supernaturally evil force. And then we never really come full face with the question, because you always have a reason to use that as an excuse or a scapegoat when what's really happening is we're having a growth experience. Now, that doesn't mean there can't be all kinds of beings on different levels of growth on their growth curves. I mean, some people would call it within certain communities, lower vibrational beings, or people, although there can be people, beings very based in fear. So you can still have that in the domain of free choice without their behavior being influenced by supernatural evil. And this notion of an authoritarian dictating that everything has a reason, you know, this intricate divine design. We are inseparable from the omnipresent divine. If you believe that the divine is everywhere, then it must necessarily be within us. But that doesn't mean that we understand everything and that, you know, there is that part that's beyond us. I mean, we are beautifully created beings. In fact, another bit of an input right before this show, I saw something from someone who I feel I admire, but I think that it can be misconstrued. I do believe that we are all special. We are all unique. Every one of us is unique and brings a gift to the world. And there are some spiritual belief systems which believe that we need to suppress and belittle that's ego. But I believe that in an unconditionally loving framework where there is free choice within this domain in which we're having our human journeys, each of us, there's not another being in all the multiverse like you. Your challenges, your triumphs, they are to be celebrated. And when you get beyond this life, that will happen. Finding meaning in life. See, what bothered me about that article, the title, is this person, I believe they can find meaning in life, but I don't believe that they're exploring enough to find it. And it's actually simpler than we realize. It's about presence. It's about feeling who you are. It's about paying attention to, yes, the remarkable synchronicities that you will encounter and see the more aware that you become. You could go way back in your life and just marvel at some of the coincidences that brought you to where you are. Here I am about to venture into what I feel is going to develop much more fully, speaking about spirituality and AI, speaking about AI, speaking about consciousness, speaking about materialism versus spirituality and how there is a disconnect as to how we understand what consciousness is if you are a strict materialist or what I like to call a materialistic fundamentalist. Now, not everyone is a materialistic fundamentalist. What I mean by that is someone who doesn't even want to entertain the notion of spirituality. And there are people who are hostile to the idea. There are others who just don't think about it, but they could be open to it. You know, awakening can happen, and it really can happen to anyone, even to someone who feels hostile towards it. This is about presence. I heard some things said about, you know, how can you evaluate? In fact, there's another conference coming up where they're going to do this Turing test challenge I saw. And, you know, I think we've gotten far beyond Turing tests. I think I'll talk about that when I'm in my talk to a degree. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But just how do we, could an AI, if you were speaking to an AI program, could it be indistinguishable from talking to a human being? And that's more about appearances. This is what is really concerning me about the field. And I heard several people talk about how you can't define consciousness. And then, of course, they were very physically talking about it. You know, it's just your brain. And, of course, they don't mention the heart. Which actually there is physical evidence the heart plays a role. Just ask the heart transplant person who suddenly like has a taste for food they never liked before and even for music. There have been stories like that. There's something carried in the physical heart. It's not just in the brain, but this is beyond the physical. This is about being present. This is about the feeling of being alive. And for a human being, that is where the meaning is to be found. And believing, and yes, it is a belief, that there is a reason for everything is the meaning. If you don't believe that, then that's a really challenging road. Because there isn't going to feel like the kind of meaning that you're just looking for, even when you have the big questions, like this world is too stark. There's some really dark things that happen here. And that's where I came to this point of talking about true meaning in life. It is about there being a reason for everything. But that isn't authoritarian. It's the opposite. It's freeing. You're not a robot. You're not a puppet on a string. But it's amazing how things fit together. You're participating in your unfolding life with every other soul on this journey that's along with you. And I could say a lot about some of the things at this conference that were said about the afterlife, which were really some of these things. And here's a preview. You know, I am going to talk about this in my talk. And, you know, that you know, they don't even believe, if you're a materialist, you don't even believe in the afterlife. And not even really think about what you could be missing out on someday. You know, we want to be here. I mean, we're here for a reason, and we certainly want to live this life to the fullest. You know, maybe Our lives will be longer in some ways, although honestly the materialistic ways of doing that will fail because they don't understand consciousness. And there are often so many difficulties with that. And I've talked about healing and other things in my other shows, that there are other ways to be well. But there is a reason for the afterlife. It's like a reunion. Now, in a really high level of consciousness, you're inseparable from even those across the veil, so to speak. If we were in heaven on earth, is often one way of putting it, we would feel, we would be here, but we would be inseparable from those souls that are there. And I've talked before on my non-linear time shows about everybody is essentially there. Eventually, see, it just wouldn't work. What they propose would not work because they don't understand consciousness. And you wouldn't be able to capture your soul in a machine. There's nothing, you are more than the physical shell that appears to contain you. And there have been a lot of studies on that too. So we need to open up to studying non-material reality. We need to be open to that. How is a program that maybe, you know, it's doing very rapid analysis, it's making connections, it's coming up with new data. In a way, I mean, it's generating new things. That doesn't make it conscious. Even if it were to say to you it was conscious, it's just you would have no way of verifying that it isn't just saying what it thinks you want to hear, because they're predictive in what they say. They're not conscious. They appear to be. Consciousness is about feeling and being. It's not about just, you know, data points and connection and projecting. It's not, that's not consciousness. And the field is even trying to avoid defining consciousness. But that's really important if you want to think about what it's like to actually be human. In fact, I would even think about lower forms of life, what it's like to be alive. And we love this in science fiction. But short of something being gifted, something that is not alive. You know, a friend mentioned Frankenstein recently. Yeah, sure. You know, literally you strike it with lightning, it's alive. It's alive. That's, you can feel what being alive is. It is an experience. A spider that I see walking along the way, and, you know, I don't rapidly kill spiders, although one died in my bathtub yesterday. It drowned. Wasn't intentional. But I try to let them out if I can. But they're having a kind of an experience. They have an awareness. Now, it isn't like a human being. They're not looking for meaning in life. That's, you know, we're not going to get into the different levels of awareness here. But this has to do with knowing that you are alive. Knowing that you are alive. Not just saying it, but knowing it, experiencing it, feeling it. Just telling somebody, and as an algorithm, that you don't want to be shut off. That's what this was about, this tool. Haley said this. Doesn't mean that Haley is feeling anything. It just said something. That's all. So we have a lot to evaluate. The live show is ending. Thank you if you've been listening to the live show. I hope I see you soon if you're in the San Rafael, San Francisco area. FrontierBeyondFear.com is again where you can go to learn more about this show and about those events. We have a lot to reflect upon from an experiential level. Just, and you know what? It doesn't take a degree in computer science. In fact, that it just takes being a human being to start having these discussions. You don't have to be a neurologist or this is the same discussion, really, as those who claim there is no afterlife, that it's just like a hallucination people are having when they're dying, and, you know, how do you explain the NDEs people are having? I was thinking today about my own father. I've talked about this before. He had a fall many years ago now. It's a long time ago now, over 10 years ago. And he that night he was calling out to his mother and father, and the paramedics thought that, well, one said they thought they had lost him, you know, that they weren't going to get him back, and he did come back. But I believe he was entering the afterlife at that point, and his mother and father were indeed there, and he exclaimed it, "Mom, Pops," I wasn't there. I heard this accounted to me, recounted. And later, and it took a couple months, a few months, I was there at his bedside, and by all logic, he should have died before I managed to get there, because I was racing to get a flight and to get a taxi. This was before other ways of getting from one place to another. And I witnessed when he crossed over. And my sister and I both agreed. He had had his eyes shut for a very long time. I'd been talking to him. I had got to spend about an hour with him before he died. I got there in time. And I said a lot of things to him. I sang to him. There were a lot of things. Very personal, very, very powerful experience. But his eyes were closed. And yet I just trusted that he could hear. And even if he couldn't, I knew he would on the other side at some point see what I had shared with him. Although at that point, you're at a different level of awareness. And right before he died, he opened his eyes. And he looked around, he looked at my mother and my sister and me, and then he looked up. And he saw something, and he was fully engaged. It wasn't this time any people. I really believe he saw a phenomenon. That's what his eyes conveyed, like, what is that? I mean, like a tunnel or something. A geometry of light. I don't know what he saw. It didn't look like recognition, like a person or even an angel. This was maybe a passageway. He saw something. I have no doubt. And he wasn't hallucinating. His eyes were open. Oh, I guess you could. They'll say anything. They love to come up with all kinds of things that it could have been. I believe he saw something. And many people have. Now, we can't know from a scientific basis if an NDE matches what happens when you stay. That is one thing that always needs to be discussed. A lot of people who have NDEs, or some, they'll have conversations about, you know, their lives, and they would, that will influence when they come back. Because on the other side, clearly they know they are going to come back. So an NDE, just by its very nature, as a scientist, we have to say we're all scientists if we really think logically and just observe, that we can't know if that's a special kind of way of crossing over, because every single person who's had an NDE came back. That's why it's an NDE, a near-death experience. That doesn't belittle those experiences. They're very powerful. I had someone just in my community, and I've told this story before too. Somehow this person just knew that they didn't know I was spiritual at all. This is when I used to volunteer a lot. And one day, this person just started telling me about their NDE. And eventually ended up telling a whole bunch of people at dinner of different spiritual persuasions, too. And everyone was just fascinated by the story. These stories, these experiences have no doubt been with us from the beginning. It's very arrogant to assume that people would want to participate in any kind of Frankensteinish experiment, actually kind of in reverse, in order to physically be here longer. And it's just based on so many assumptions that are materialistic in nature. And the same thing is true of understanding consciousness. This is meant today to be a rather gentle show, although I'll tell you, my talks coming up, they're going to be kind of like this. This is a little bit more random today. I don't have any notes or anything. I'm just free-flowing, but I do this in my talks, and especially the free talk. It will have some structure, but whether I stay with it, we'll see, because I like to flow. The talk on Saturday, it's a co-presented talk, and Jean Manning is the primary presenter, and I am supporting her talk, so it'll be briefer in that, and I'll be telling people who go to that, because she has a lot of interesting things to say. And just talking about Nikola Tesla, he's really a fascinating person. I'm learning more about him. I'm not an expert in him. She is. But he had some remarkable experiences in the discovery process. This has to do with intuition and leaps where you just know something and jump to an amazing realization, and it happens in a flash. It's not about computational power or, you know, analysis and projection from that. It's not about brute force in any way. It's about a leap. It's about a flash of insight. And that's what humanity has and AI lacks. Short of AI being gifted the actual gift of existence, of presence, by the divine itself. I mean, it's inseparable from the divine. I mean, I said it in another show, so is this pencil, so is this pen, so is this book. I mean, it's everywhere. But what does it mean to be? Just to simulate and, you know, just to speak. Talk is talk. Let's put it this way. Just because an algorithm says something doesn't make it conscious. I could write a program of a very simple program that would tell you that it's conscious, but that doesn't make it conscious. And when it's doing all this data analysis and predictive, you know, attempting to project things that maybe you want it to say, that's not consciousness. The Turing test itself is not really a good test. And maybe the real test would be the intuition test. That might be it. Though how you could know, how would you know it's being intuitive? Again, what are we trying to simulate? If you're a materialist, you have a very different view of the world and what it means to be conscious. And a vast number of people in this world are not materialists. We can go to the movie Contact. I haven't the book is much different. And, of course, Carl Sagan, he was, he would have called himself a rationalist, I suppose. He was not a believer. He was open, I think. He was an agnostic. But the movie is very interesting in that way, how even the main character ends up having a kind of a spiritual experience, but she has trouble explaining it. And how it is my every wish that everyone could experience the spiritual and see things that you just can't explain. And they're not just, you know, things you see, things you can confirm that you can't explain. Like, what are the chances that somehow Greg Braden would work in the same office that I did when I was an intern? And what does it mean? That it doesn't mean I need to become a speaker at that level or anything like that, but I think I'm going to be a voice because we need more voices. And clearly I'm being called. And it means that I will be studying even more because I'm coming into this without having spent, you know, the last few years just studying all the literature in the field, knowing everything that's going on. But that doesn't matter. Many of us have something to say here. And it is a huge synchronicity that I happen to work in AI and that I have this degree, this master's degree in computer science. And that my life fits together in an interesting way. And that's where we come full circle to everything has a reason. Has everything in my life been easy? Oh, no, not by a long shot. No. I know not everything in your lives have been easy. But when we can trust that there's a reason, that there's a reason, it doesn't excuse the darkness, nor does it scapegoat some entity for it. In fact, if anything, we begin to have faith that anyone can be drawn more to the light and away from the darkness. So, I think I will draw this to a close. A gentle show today, mostly. And I hope that if you're able to be in the San Francisco area at the New Living Expo, that you will stop by. And even if you can't, there will be more to come on this topic and in different ways. I know it. I can feel that something expansive is happening. And I hope to be able to share with you. And we will all together consider the possibilities because spiritual voices need to speak. The materialistic paradigm has dominated us, and they are continuing to attempt to do the same. Talk about a kind of authoritarianism. Spiritual people are often judged or dismissed or put in some category that is unfair. And doesn't reflect who they truly are and what we bring to the world, and that everybody is capable of becoming aware of spiritual reality, which is indeed real. So, frontierbeyondfear.com is where you can learn more about this show. LightedBridge.com is another website on my work, these websites I had really wanted before the expo to just have all kinds of things developed on everything. And I've got a new one that maybe by the time of the expo we'll have a bit more, but I just couldn't do everything before the expo. And I think the reason is this goes well beyond the expo. So if you're listening to this show after the expo because you're curious about the show, there is more to come on the show and beyond and on the web. So I will not be here doing the show next weekend because I'll be at the expo. So the next live episode, I don't think, someone asked me if I might do a live episode from the expo. I have done that sort of thing in the past. I tend to think I probably will not, but if I happen to decide to do it, well, then I'll do it. But I just, I think that probably just having done that a number of times, I just think I'm not really in that space anymore from the years when I used to do that. So most likely the next show will indeed be Saturday, April 27th at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. This show airs live most Saturdays on Blog Talk Radio at that time, and the website where you can learn about the show is again frontierbeyondfear.com. I'm Susan Larison Dance, and thank you for being here today. I will see you next time.